Luke chapter 10, coming back to where we left off in our study from last week. And if you missed that message, there's a CD out there on the table. And if you don't want to pick up a CD, you can find the sermon on sermonaudio.com under my name. Now, I'm taking the title for the message today from verse 11 of Luke 10, verse 11. And what caught my attention when I read through this is this statement here found in the last part of verse 11. Be sure of this. Be sure of this. You can count on this. The kingdom of God is come near to you right now. You can be sure of this. You can count on it. The kingdom of God that is spoken of here is the same as the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is King in His kingdom. It's the same gospel that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God promised afore by the prophets in the law concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kingdom of God that is spoken of here, that's of God, of His planning, of His purchase, of His doing, this kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And it is an eternal kingdom. Our Lord clearly says that in John 18, verse 36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If it was, my servants would fight." His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Now, how can it be said to us this morning, and I take this personally, to us this morning, that the kingdom of God is come near, nigh unto us right now? Here's how. In the plain preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." The apostle again writes in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such a hope," Christ who is our hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory, "seeing that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech." Now, on the front cover of our bulletin, there has been this scripture verse since I started doing bulletins more than 23 years ago. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake." This ministry is not about me. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not about you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about Him. It's all about Him. Not about you, not about me. It's about Him. You see, it's the kingdom of God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God, our Savior. Now, in our message last week was taken from verse 1 down through verse 7, and we find that the Lord appointed 70 men. That is, He sovereignly chose them. They didn't send themselves. They were appointed of the Lord. They were sent of the Lord. And He sent them with His message, with His word. They were sent with the power of God upon them. And we studied that from verse 1 down to verse 7. Now today I want to consider the second part of His message in verse 8 down to verse 16. The Lord appointed these 70 men. Now who were these 70 men? They were sinners. They were sinners. They were men just like us. Guilty, vile sinners, justified by the Lord's grace. These 70 men were called out and sent by the Lord. They were called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and they were sent to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. They were not sent to entertain folks. They were not sent to pat folks on the back. They were sent to heal and to preach the gospel. Now we know the Lord is still appointing, calling, and sending sinners today to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone that will hear it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord still uses men, sinners, to tell other sinners where they found bread. Preaching is simply this. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Preaching is just repeating what God has already said. Have you noticed that I often repeat myself over and over and over again? Because I'm repeating the truth that God has revealed in His Word. The Lord still uses men to tell other men, sinners to tell other sinners where bread is found, where water is found. He's the bread of life. You thirsty? He's the water of life. You hungry? He's the bread of life. Now, whenever and wherever and to whomsoever the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come in saving mercy, He will send that man a gospel preacher. He will cross that man's path with the gospel. He'll put that man under the ministry of the gospel. God has ordained that, and it has not changed. I'm most thankful that the Lord crossed my path one day with a gospel preacher. And He did so by His sovereign purpose, and He did so by His sovereign grace. I didn't just bump into the gospel one day. He sent me a gospel preacher. And God blessed that word in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And He used that message to raise this sinner from the dead, that I might tell other sinners how to be raised from the dead by His grace and His grace alone. The Lord has not changed His method or His ways. It pleased and it still pleases God to call out sinners to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice I just didn't say preaching. Now, there's a lot of preachers. I have found out over the years that the woods are full of preachers. Everybody and their brother is a preacher, a preacher, a preacher. Oftentimes I run into people, they say, well, you know this, when they find out I'm a preacher, they say, well, you know this preacher, you know that preacher, you know this. No, I don't. I don't want to know him either. I'm interested in knowing him and preaching Christ. But I tell you, the woods are full of preachers. They're everywhere. I mean, on every corner. You drive up and down the street. Churches on every corner. Are they all preaching the gospel? No. Is every man that calls himself a preacher of the gospel? Sadly, no. I wish they were. Now, here's the first point. Verse 8 and 9. Into what soever city you enter, and they receive you, they receive the message of the Son of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You fellowship with them. You can eat the things that are set before you. You can fellowship with them. You can worship with them. And then He says this, heal the sick that are therein. If there's any sick, heal them. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come into your house. Now, how is that so? In the preaching of the gospel. Whatsoever city that you enter in and you receive, or the message of the gospel is received, receive what is given unto you, what is provided for you. Put no demands upon the city for riches or rewards, fame, fortune, popularity, or prosperity. You preach the gospel and fellowship with those who believe the gospel. And then He tells them what to do. Everybody wants to know what to do, don't they? He says here, heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. Heal the sick. Now, oftentimes you'll see in the newspaper and different people advertising that they're going to have a healing service. Some people even have gone so far as to say that we're going to have a healing service for our dogs, our cats, and our cows, and our horses. Just bring them and we're going to have a healing service for the animals as well. Isn't that nice? Oh, that's just so kind. I tell you what it is. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Now, These apostles, these 12 apostles, and these 70 men were given special credentials and special gifts to demonstrate that they spoke in the name of God with the power of God. Remember, turn back over to Luke 9, verse 1. When he called the 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority over devils, demons, to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see, the sick are healed by the preaching of the gospel. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 4, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. These men had special credentials that they spoke for God, in that they could, by the power of God and by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, heal the sick, lay hands on them, and to be healed. So much so, they had so much success in doing that, being sent of God with the power of God. Look what they say down in verse 17 of Luke 10. The 70 returned with joy. I mean, these folks were puffed up, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Through your name. The Lord blessed them because the Lord sent them. And they had a successful ministry. But remember this, all healing and all subjection, the devils are subject unto us. All healing and all subjection is of the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord. It's of His doing. So He told them what to do, heal the sick, and then He told them what to say. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near to you. Now, our ministry today is no different than it was when the Lord sent out these 70 men. You say, preacher, wait a minute now. Do you heal the sick? I've seen a lot of sick folks healed. How do we heal the sick? We don't. The Lord does the healing of the sin-sick soul through the preaching of the gospel. You see, we read in Scripture, with His stripes we are healed. That's how we're healed, with His stripes. All healing is of the Lord. And we do so in preaching the gospel. We go with the simplicity, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me, that all of His elect. We go preaching the gospel of Christ, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing sinners to look to Him. And the Lord does the healing of a soul. The Lord raises up the dead. The Lord makes us new creatures in Christ. It's the Lord's doing. This is marvelous in our eyes. As David said, this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, our message is one that's a simple message. It's a singular message. That say, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now the apostle said, we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servant for His sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure of the gospel in an earthen vessel. That's all I am. That He might receive all the honor and glory. We preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. Paul the apostle, when he was in prison there in Rome, as we read in Acts 28:23, you remember? Don't turn, let me just read it to you again. And he expounded unto them and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ, King in His kingdom, that the power of God unto salvation. Now, if you would like to turn with me, you can. If you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. The kingdom of God, you see that? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In power. In power. Now, turn back to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is the power of God and the salvation. You see, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not... Now, here's what it's not. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Abstain from this, abstain from that. Salvation is not in meat and drink. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, two words caught my attention there in verse 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. Now, I jotted down Psalm 85, verse 10, a very familiar verse, where it says, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's in Christ and Him crucified. For the kingdom of God is righteousness. Now, we talked about that in our Bible study this morning. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. His righteousness and the peace that He made for us with His own blood. Now, you see what He's saying here? Look back to the text. Go heal the sick. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now look at verse 10 and verse 11 of Luke 10. Luke 10:10. And into whatsoever city that you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the same, street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. As it says in another place, as a testimony against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this. The kingdom of God has been preached in your city. The kingdom of God has been preached in your hearing. Now here we learn something of the dire, serious consequences of hearing the gospel preached and putting it from you, or not receiving the gospel of Christ, or rejecting the gospel of Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath life, right? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now let me read another scripture to you. This is found in 1 John. Let me just read it to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life, does not have forgiveness, does not have salvation. You see, hearing the gospel and rejecting the gospel by willful unbelief is a terrible, dire consequence. To have the privilege of sitting under the gospel ministry and rejecting the message of the gospel leaves you with no hope and leaves you with a certain fiery judgment to come. Now, look at this statement again found in verse 11. Luke 10, verse 11. Be sure of this. Now, everything connected with the gospel of God concerning the kingdom of God is certain and sure. Certain and sure. I thought about these scriptures. Romans 4, 16. It is of faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And then in Isaiah 28, 16. God said, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. You can count on it. You can rest in it. And then this scripture. Be sure now, the kingdom of God. Be sure of this. The foundation standeth sure. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. The foundation standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And then in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and we should do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Now be sure of this. Be sure of this. God saves sinners just one way. Be sure of this. One way. Not Buddha. Not Mohammed. Not morality. Not by works or water. God saves sinners only in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while listening and waiting for our radio program this morning, our radio program comes on at 8:30. And I trust that you listen to it. It's easy to find on the internet or on the radio, 96.5. And there's a preacher that comes on before my program comes on. And I usually set my radio up right here and tune it in, get it ready to listen to the gospel. And I heard this man say out of his own mouth, here's what he said. And here's what false religion promotes. Here's what he said. Your destiny, I wrote it down as soon as I heard it. I walked right over here on my lectern over here and I wrote it down. This is what he said. Your destiny is determined by how you live. Now, what does that say to us? Well, for one, I know that man's a liar. I know, too, that is totally contrary to what the Bible teaches. Salvation is not by what you do. Now, I can give you several scriptures. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not based upon my obedience. Salvation is based upon the Lord's obedience, His faithfulness. What a terrible thing to say. That your destiny is determined by how you live. Well, that's my rule of life. You're going to perish. You're going to perish in your sin, trusting your own filthy rags of self-glory and self-righteousness. And I thought of this scripture. Be sure of this. Salvation by grace alone, not works. I thought of this scripture. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He saved us. So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul, when he's sitting in prison, writes to young Timothy, he says, God who saved us, God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. Be sure of this. God saves sinners just one way. Now, I know a lot about works religion. I cut my teeth on works religion. I grew up in works religion. They call it Mormonism. I was a Mormon, raised a Mormon, raised on works. One day God taught me that salvation is by grace. Thank God. Be sure of this. God saves sinners one way. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not morality, not works, not water. Some say, well, salvation's in the water. That's how we touch the blood, is through the water. Tommy rot. Tomfoolery. Salvation is by the blood of Christ. He justifies us by His own blood. God saves sinners only in Christ. Be sure of this. For as much as you know, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Is that right? The blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Be sure of this. Salvation's in Christ. Only in Christ. Secondly, be sure of this. There's just one way God justifies the ungodly. There's just one way He makes us righteous in Christ. Now here's a scripture. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, ruin, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Now, I've got over here behind my garden out here, I've got a pile of dung. A dear friend brought me a truckload of manure. And it's good for the garden, but it's not good for righteousness. And here's the thing. All the best deeds you have are nothing but a pile of manure as far as justification before God goes. Paul calls it Philippians 3:9. I'm not just preaching now, I'm telling the truth. He called it dung. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Be sure of this. God justifies sinners just one way in Christ. Thirdly, be sure of this. Now be sure of this. Our Lord said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. If you die in your sin, you'll be raised in your sin, you'll face God in your sin, and you'll be eternally damned in your sin. Be sure of this. The judgment of God is certain and sure. Who shall be punished? He said, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. To you who believe, He is precious. Now, point number three. I've got four, but here's number three. Found in verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. And I'll move through this quickly. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable. In that day. Now he's talking about the day of judgment for Sodom. Than for that city that had the gospel and rejected it. Or that person who had heard the gospel and rejected it. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. These are Jewish cities. On the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord ministered so many times. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, in these Gentile cities, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented sitting in sackcloth and ashes. The goodness of God would have led them to repentance, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment day than for you. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted to the heaven. Capernaum was another Jewish city there in Galilee, which are exalted to the heavens. He said, you're going to be brought down to hell. They gloried in their city rather than glorying in Christ. Now, it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. These Gentile cities were known for the great wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained fire from heaven upon them. These other cities of Galilee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum were Jewish cities. The Lord had done many miracles, preached many sermons among those cities, yet they rejected the great light of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ that walked among them. We see something of the hardness of the depraved heart of every creature. The Lord walked among them. He preached among them. Did miracles among them. And they remained in the hardness of their heart. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. He must grant repentance. Now, here's the lesson. The Lord is going to hold all men accountable in the day of judgment for the light they had, whether great or small, whether it be the light of nature or the light of the gospel. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. All men are accountable unto Almighty God. And what we study from Romans 1 verse 20, all men are without excuse. Those who sinned against more light will receive the greater condemnation. Now, here's what one old writer said about this verse. These inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah though they sinned against the light of nature, despised the advice and admonition of Lot, Abraham's nephew, you remember, ill-treated the angels of God, the messengers of God, yet will be more mildly punished than the wicked Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember they said, away with him, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar and his gospel. Despised his apostles and ministers because they sinned against so much more light, such means of grace and mercy revealed in Christ Jesus. It's greater condemnation to hear the gospel than to reject it than to having never heard the gospel and to still reject it. Those who have received more light will receive a greater condemnation. Now, here's the last thing. Verse 16. He that heareth you hears me. And he that despises you despises me. And he that despises the Son despises the Father who has sent him. God in the fullness of time sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Faithful gospel preachers are God's ambassadors to your soul. Now that's what I am to you. I can show you that in Scripture. Find 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that is, namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the kingdom of God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Look at verse 21. For God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Faithful gospel preachers, let's read one more verse. Romans 10, turn over there. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13, you got it? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? God sends forth his messengers with the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now those who are sent of God, they all preach the same thing. Those who are sent of God all have the same message: Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those who come saying that your destiny is determined by how you live, mark it down, they're not sent of God. They are messengers of Satan who parade as angels of light and righteousness. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that's from Isaiah 57. God's preachers, faithful gospel preachers, are ambassadors to your soul. They are to be heard, received, and treated as the servants of the Lord. The Lord has put this honor upon them. Those who despise them are not despising them so much as the Lord himself. Those who reject salvation which is of the Lord, which they are commissioned to preach, are doing an injury not so much to them, but as to God our Savior who sent them to preach the gospel. Now, a warning. God's servants are not to be worshipped. I would not have that at all. You remember in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Silas or maybe Barnabas were preaching there in a city, and Lystra, I believe the name of the city was, and they healed a man. And they started to run toward them and to fall down and worship them. And Paul said, don't do it. I'm a servant. I'm a man of like passion, just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace alone. God's servants are not to be worshipped. However, they're to be respected and appreciated. Now, here's the Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation. Kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. God is absolute God, sovereign over all things. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the radio message that I brought this morning. Of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory both now and forever. You see, these servants of the Most High God show us the way of salvation in Christ. Now, a couple closing statements. One of the greatest blessings the Lord can give to any community, church, people is a faithful gospel preacher. A faithful gospel preacher. One who's committed to preach and set forth the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That preaches that salvation to the Lord. Now, one of the greatest complaints that I have received over the last 12 years that we've been doing the sermon audio ministry. Over the last 12 years, and I hear from people all over the world and all over this country. But one of the greatest complaints I received through the sermon audio audience and from people all over this country is this complaint right here. They say, there's no gospel ministry in our city. I've heard that hundreds and hundreds of times. In emails, written letters, and phone calls, there's no gospel ministry in this city. Isn't that sad? It's sad. Thank God that there is some gospel ministries in cities here and there. Zebulun. Where in the world is Zebulun? It's right here where God raised up a gospel ministry. A gospel ministry that preaches salvation is of the Lord. Thanks be to God that He has raised up one here and there. And in other places, in Dingus, in Ashland, in Kingsport, in Lexington, and other places where we know the gospel of God's grace is declared. Down in Crossville, they've had a Bible conference this weekend, and other places. Aren't you thankful that the Lord is still calling sinners and sending them with the message of God's grace, pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, and declaring that salvation is of the Lord, being confident of this very thing, that God who hath begun a good work in you will finish it unto the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, the bottom line in everything is this. And here's one acid test. You remember when you were in school in chemistry, they had that little strip that you would dip, and it was an acid test. Well, here's the acid test to find out who is preaching the gospel and who is not. You know what it is? Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Now, salvation depends upon the creature. Who's going to get the glory? The creature. But we know that salvation is of the Lord, and that gives Him all the honor and glory. You read Revelation 1 and Revelation 5. It's all about unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us and washed us in His own blood. What about our works? They don't count for anything but dung. Be done with it. Look to Christ. Christ alone. You see, this ministry and every gospel ministry about the kingdom of God is all about His glory. His glory alone.